We're ahead, one go. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call to order the Osage Minerals Council regular meeting Wednesday, December 21st. Before we do a little housekeeping, I'd like to ask my elder to have an opening prayer for us. Mr. Riddick, please, everyone stand. We shall all walk down for time. We need you, Lord.
He there, humpa there, bade o mai, ka de nika hiongale, pana de kaha winter time ka a. He there, tati wakanda jiki de kaha. O yanki, zakae de ite, angale, ete de kaha. O mai, ka nika shi de kaha, wajaji nika shi lani de kaha. La o yanki, lite de kaha, itinig de kaha. La ewa, skia de kaha, in tati wakanda. This most sacred road that you brought us on, Almighty God, brought us to this point in time where we now reflect upon the birth of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one our people call Wakanda Ijinki Zita Zeka. Humpa de Tati Wakanda, Wakanda Ijinki Zeka. Tisto Mazi Nikashi Zeka, Humpa de. Omaja Zita Zeka, Ski Zeka. Omaika Zita Zeka, Winter Kamaka Up. Humpa de Data Zani Zita Zeka. E dompa zita de kaha, nika shizani de kaha, e tinto de kaha, trying to look into the future ka'a.
Yeah.
Humpa de tati wakanda, e tinto de kaha, da ewa da kia, e kyan kombra de kaha, in tati wakanda, wakanda jinki de kaha. Heavenly Father, as we go into this heavenly and holy season, Almighty God, let us be brought back in our minds and spirits, reflect upon you, the light of the world, guide us and lead us. Heavenly Father, bring that peace that your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, said that we must have to function and to move into this world in hand-to-hand, in peaceful manner, in peaceful minds. Heavenly Father, we ask for thy graciousness, thy mercy, and thy blessings upon this council, the leadership in the room, and all about us that are striving for the future. We ask this in your name. Name your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Please be seated. Let's have a roll call, please.
Councilman Boone?
Yes.
Councilman Crum?
Here.
Councilwoman Redcorn?
Here.
Chairman Waller?
Here.
Councilman Tishwaller?
Here.
Councilwoman Irwin?
Here.
Councilman Redcorn?
Here.
Councilman Yates?
Thank you. Just a little housekeeping. I'd like to counsel and entertain you for just a moment. The issues I'd like to talk about first is we've had some interviews done with the Market Watch that complemented our efforts on the areas of concessions the companies we're dealing with. They're stating that there's a possibility of good things coming over our 3D seismic, the effort in which we've all tried to work on in the last couple of years. The other comment is that I did have to do an interview with Law 360, and it's against the wind farms. Also, you're going to be contacted by HBO as a council. They'd like to come and meet with us.
That's an HBO home box office, HBO?
That's correct.
Wow.
And I'm not quite for sure what it's encompassing, but I told them let's get through the Christmas season.
Outside the lines, we can.
Maybe. The next issue I have is, of course, our meetings. We scheduled our meeting that will have all of us together, executive, the congressional, and the council. That's coming up, and also the EIS meeting that has been scheduled for the 19th.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Please.
When did we decide to do an interview with Market? With my understanding, we were going to have bids.
No, ma'am. This is Market Watch. It's out of New York. It's only an interview for the article.
An interview for what article?
The article, which was a investment capital risk management group that was talking about some of the players today in the Osage.
Okay. about some of the ones.
Players, oil companies.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions? We're good. With that, I'd like to count the reports. Ms. Shunquist.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will do the accounting for the C-395. Unfortunately, our office is a bit chaotic right now, so the S-510 is going to wait until the next month's meeting.
But we've actually received it for Mrs. Rowe already?
I believe so.
Yes.
It should be in your books. All right, currently we have $254,600.52 in the checking account. We have spent to date through November 30th, $90,805.53. We had one recorded drawdown in November. The second is December. Both were for $250,000, so we've made it through the half.
Council, is there any questions? Did anyone get a chance to review the S-510? They're fine. And with that, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Pleasant. Have a Merry Christmas.
Right back at you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yes, Council.
Were we going to try to have Leslie speak with us in executive later? We talked about that last week in executive to discuss the accounts.
Council. Would you like to have her back to executive?
Yes.
Not on the agenda, but
I mean, my understanding is we were going to ask for that.
Would you please be able, we'll go through some agenda items. We'll call for executive. We'd like to have you come back in.
Okay.
Review a couple items that would be better.
Is there a specific time, or would you like me just to?
As fast as I can get there.
Okay.
While we give her a call, this is a suggestion.
It might be.
I was going to say, I have some business at Congress, so I can.
Please stay there and enjoy yourself. And we don't want to invite you.
We'll be back in and check. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'd like to move to the auditor report, Mr. Jim Swan. From right there, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to start. I missed last month, so I'm going to give last month's report then.
I wish you would. Thank you.
All right. Start with October's report, Osage Information Tools, where we had collections in October of $2,590,882.97. Our average purchase price or sale price for September was $43.93 per barrel. Average highest posted price October, $46.39 a barrel. Our average daily barrels produced in September, 11,104. Our payment, of course, in December was $3,335 for head drive. And our gross production tax for third quarter production was $381,563.56. Our gross barrels produced in September, 333,116 barrels. Rolling barrels, 51,036. Our rolling barrels versus gross barrels, 15.32%. Our total oil royalty collected in October was $2,241,803. Our gas royalty, $208,591. Tank bottom was $518. Gives us a total of oil and gas revenue that collected was $2,450,912. And in September, our bonus was $2.39 a barrel average.
Yes, sir.
Okay. our November information sheet, OSAGE information sheet, our total collections in November, $2,968,906.71. Our average price per barrel of oil in October, $48.36 a barrel. Our average posted price in November, $42.09 a barrel. Today, that price is $48.75 a barrel.
Yes, sir.
Our gross barrels produced in October, $364,866. Gross per barrel, $55,766. Our royalty barrel versus our gross barrel in October, 15.35%. Our total oil royalties collected in November, $2,698,043. Gas royalties, $234,605. Our tank bottom was $899. Gives us a total oil and gas royalties for in November, $2,933,547. And our bonus in October was $1.97 a barrel average.
Yes, sir. I see the change from last year is 32,000 plus barrels from November 15. Council.
The change, though, that is also significant in daily production from September to October was,
it was up about
627 barrels a day. I think that's directly reflects the fact that the oil price got up to in the $50 range during that time, and upper 40s, and people turned them back on. You know, they weren't making expenses and electricity and stuff when it was 24 bucks or 25 some, and they shut them down, and apparently around $45 was the trigger for turning back on. So also, I periodically, I'll do it again today, point out that the term bonus has to do with the amount of money or the amount of dollars per barrel difference between the average price paid in Osage and highest posted, what we're required by federal regulation to accept. And 1 month was, as the two you reported to, $1.97 below, yes, and the other was $2.36 below. So highest posted is most certainly a misnomer. It's not the highest of anything. It's the bottom of the market. And we're or continue to have to accept that as what we accept for our royalty share of the oil. And I remind again that prior to the highest posted being put in place, the federal judge ruled as being unfair and unworkable method of pricing our oil. We got the highest price paid or offered, which in October, my little quick run through the information we got from Coffeyville for October. The highest price was just a touch under 50 that I run across, $50 a barrel. So in the old days, we would have got $50 a barrel for all of our oil. And now we're having to accept 48, or that was the average, $2 below the average of 48 something is what we're having to accept now. I didn't do the math on that particular one, but that was the average price paid, highest posted price. NYMEX monthly average would have been $49.10 for that same period, which would be what, about 74 cents, or they're about 70 some cents above the average, is all of it would have been above the average price. We would have been nearly a dollar below what was the top of the price was, but we would have been in the upper part of the market. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman. I appreciate your report, Mr. Swan.
I noticed we're still down barrels from last year. Any thoughts on why you're not seeing?
No, I have no idea.
Have you heard any conversation or what's your, what are your?
I haven't. All I know is some places that's on my land, there's nine producing wells, and now there's only about three running. That's happened in the last 6 months.
Okay, so we see, we're seeing the number of wells permitted go down.
Right.
We're seeing the number of wells going down. I'm feeling like, well, I guess I'm projecting into the future, there's going to be a lot of activity. I don't know if the Osages get left behind by all the regulation or putting stipulations on our old producers, that's going to drop us out of the market. I mean, everybody else around us is starting to flourish, all the counties. So I think we need to be prudent to do what's best for both us and to keep our business moving forward. So I'm encouraging your word numbers that you're keeping, but I'm always concerned, you know, why our barrels are going down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the royalty to growth still is around 15.3, somewhere in there, which is about as low as I've seen.
You know, Ms. Councilwoman Redcorn is talking about later, Ms. Our agenda is our mineral director. However, I remember the days when Joe Hewlett was in there. We could get quick analysis of, you know, Joe spent a lot of time in the oil field as a petroleum engineer. Actually, he told me so. I'm a chemical engineer, but don't tell him about it. But his whole career was in oil and gas. But he, you know, he was really quick to kind of help us interpret what the numbers were, why we were going down. What are your thoughts there? Do you think?
For, you mean for the, well, to me, it's just, it's price driven to me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chairman.
Council. Very good answer, Mr. Shawan. I mean, if you look at Tulsa World today, the state of Oklahoma is expecting an $886 million shortfall. And you know why that is? Because the reduction in oil production.
Straight across.
Straight across. So it's not just affecting Osage County, it's global.
We are, what we pay in gross reduction tax, normally some of our quarters are a million plus. Now we're down to 300,000 or more.
Right, right. Coffers are getting bare. My question is, I have a constituent that follows pricing, and they called this morning and they said in the last few days they've noticed a difference between highest posted price and NYMEX. The difference has increased by a dollar or more, and they were wondering why they would be, the purchasers would be paying less. With the highest posted price versus NYMEX. And you might explain NYMEX is always $2 or $3.
I know Galen has is up on it more, but when it comes to highest posted price, it's our purchasers that are one of the surveys saying whether you're going to pay today. That's the survey. Mm-hmm. And the highest one quoted, it becomes highest posted price for that day.
Okay, so they're setting that price.
Yeah.
By whatever means they decided.
Yeah, right. Whatever formula they have.
Right, and that's what I told them. I said they're basically with the purchaser's discretion on what they want to pay.
Right.
Right. Thank you.
Council. I'd like to follow up on that, though, that they obviously pay more than that because our average price is $2 above what the highest posted is. So what we found in the lawsuit, what the judge ruled on, was it was being manipulated, the highest posted price was being manipulated down without competition because nobody actually sells their oil for what it is that day. they already have contracts with who they're selling it with and stuff. So what? So that price means nothing in terms of what people do with it or what they actually pay for the purchase is actually paid. And except for the people whose contract may say that they only get highest posted price. And we do have some of those. And fewer and fewer that are around. It's hard for me to find them in there that are selling for highest posted. They're generally a little above it, but sometimes it will be based on that one. You can tell by re-engineering it that they're getting 50 cents above highest posted or whatever. But it's based off of that one. And the federal judge found that we were being, our prices were being manipulated down and that they could no longer do it that way by using that highest posted method.
Thank you, Chairman. So, if we have an agreement with the lessee, and he's getting, or she's getting a certain amount from the barrel, they're not going to get much. They're not going to get anything what is offered that day at that location.
Right.
Okay.
They got a way to do it on royalty. You get the higher sales price, or if you sell below posted, then you got to pay posted price.
Right. It was mentioned in some of our meetings, you know, an in-kind process that might be in the future or proposed, and you know, where minerals would get more active in an in-kind scenario where we could possibly match. You know, we own those barrels, so we're in a negotiation on our barrels as opposed to then more of a fair deal. You know, it's just a proposal, you know, because 100% of nothing is nothing. You know, we want to make sure we're fair. So I think the discussion, at least on my end, has always been to let's improve the process even more. That's one thing I learned working at a major oil company was always look for a better process. Don't ever rest on, you know, there's always something better. Always continue to look because we're inching for more oil. We want more oil out of the ground. The way we're seeing things going, oil is going down. The rig count is going down. And what are we doing? And I think that's why I'm in favor of a mineral director. Someone with 30 years in oil and gas experience on the front end managing and trying to help us decipher. Maybe we need consultants to try to figure out how we can get those barrels going up, how we get a rig count going up in difficult times. They talk a lot about ExxonMobil and this guy, Tillerson.
Tillerson.
Working for an oil company, I watched ExxonMobil. We've watched their stock price. Through the years, stock ExxonMobil continue to move high while all the other oil companies are moving low in difficult times. I know, we watched it. So I'm in more encouragement for some people that are out there that can really make money even in difficult times. So that's what I'm asking is, my question is, and I'm hoping that we can solve some of these with the director, get some more people that are in the oil business, got that experience, knows these things, how can we capture the most out of our barrels so we can keep production high? You know, if we take it too far, production goes down. If we take it too far with the regulation, production goes down. So what do we need to do to balance that regulatory climate, agree with pricing with both our competitors who are our producers out there, maybe even ourselves? We don't want to throw ourselves off the market and try to get more oil out of the ground for the benefit of the shareholders, you know, going forward. So I'm encouraged. What are your thoughts there, Jim?
I don't know. To me, it's just on the price. The oil price goes up, they got a certain price. They say they're going to drill, it's low, that's not going to drill. Besides, Also, another thing in the Osage, we have probably 7 or 8 purchasers, but only one purchaser, I can't remember whether it's September or October, bought 76% of our oil, sold by the money.
Correct.
Really, we only got one main purchaser.
Is that CVR, Coffeyville Resources?
Appreciate the report we're getting from BIA on Coffeyville. They're quite extensive too, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairman.
I agree with trying to improve our processes and hire people, but I do have a question to the councilman on his first statement. Did I understand you to say that on any given day, what a producer can sell is the price that is offered for that day, in other words, the highest posted price, that's the best price he can get for that day?
I was asking Jim a question. It was a question to Jim.
Is that the question that you asked?
I asked a question to Jim, and I asked him, can you tell us what your response was toward my question?
Well, just because today has a certain posted price, most of them sell a little higher than what posted is. There's only one or two that I know of that sells below, but they only buy like a load a month, looking at the volumes. But we don't always get posted price, we get a little bit higher. That's where the bonus comes in.
Correct. Thank you.
And you like that?
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Swan. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Then I'd like to move on down to the agenda. Item 6, BIA report. Superintendent Robin Phillips.
If you don't mind, I'm going to ask Richard to do the report. I've kind of got all this cold, congestion, all that kind of good stuff. So I'm here for more report. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Superintendent.
Thank you. For the month of November, the branch of field operations reviewed and scanned 1,750 purchaser run tickets. 80 purchaser tank tables were encoded in the Osage computer system. There were 281 purchaser tank tables scanned in the Osage Nation report. There were 8 leases checked for production on primary term. There were 14 gas meter reports scanned in the Osage Nation report. There were 2 OERB evaluations. There were 46 lease inspections. There were 24 meter calibration and provings witnessed. There were 69 landowner leasee meetings. There were 9 spills leaks inspected. There were 15 spills leaks inspected follow-ups. There were 2 calculations. There were 3 tank bottom removals that were witnessed. In the branch of lease management, there were 5 division orders approved. There were 73 lease terminations. Producing wells for the month of November, there were 18,088 less 3,251 saltwater disposal wells and other wells, which equals to 14,837 production wells. Leases that sold the most sandy soil permits was APAC. The top 3 were APAC, Candy Creek Crusher, and Casey Hidman. Sales reported for the lease for APAC were $25,741.35 tons at $13,933. Candy Creek Crusher was $9,421.45 tons at $4,804.92. And Henry Banks was 102 cubic yards at $76.50. Number requests for lease information was 18. 4 of those was FOIA request, and 14 were non-FOIA request. Branch of subsurface, there were 2 drilling permits approved, 7 work order permits approved, and 9 plugging permits approved. Branch enforcement, there were EAs received for APDs was 4, 16 permits. 5 of those permits was for spyglass, 5 was for chaparral, 5 was for BGI, and 1 was wool rock. Number of EAs approved for APDs was 2, covering 5 permits. 4 was for short for plugging, and 1 for well code for drilling. Next, please.
Councilwoman Bennett.
Is this correct? Only 1 run ticket was figured?
Yes.
Why did it drop to 1?
I'm not positive. I can check with the field section and see. I know a lot of the people out there had a lot of use or lose. They had to use for them a year. So I know there was a lot of people off, but I can check and see.
Mm-hmm. And how many are in that field section?
There's 10 right now.
Okay, thank you. Councilwoman Arley?
Is Phillips, do they sit in Osage County?
Phillips 66?
Yes, sir.
Do they sit in
Osage County?
No.
They don't.
You're talking about their offices?
Yes, right there at the stop sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Research West does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Research Center, yeah.
Yeah, up there. Yeah. Well, they have a lot of people stuff going on out there. I see a lot of dirt on the ground, and it looks like some kind of drilling. I don't know what it is. But we'll send one of your guys up there.
Sure, we can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a matter that this report reminded me of, I think we still need to deal with. And that's the fact that on our hard mineral sales, of rock particularly, we discovered some time ago that we had done permits, I guess they're called, improperly in terms of the royalty valuation. It was brought to our attention that the CFRs say that we are to get 10%, not a particular dollar figure or a cents figure per ton is what we've done. We changed that with APAC when they come back in to redo their situation, you know, their permit scale. We still have these others that are doing per ton, a dollar figure per ton. It was the intention when we started converting that over, that I understood at least, it was my intention that we would get everybody on the same page at some point. We were not going to be letting somebody sell it for 60 cents a ton, or rather pay royalty at 60 cents a ton, and others paying the 10% of the sales price. You came back with us saying how these agreements had been done long term. They were, some of them were designed to be re-upped like the property. We had been told in the past that they were all on a yearly basis, that they could be renewed. I think we need to solve that problem. We're being discriminatory against one of our producers by having them do it. And we've been, all the other people, we've been consistent with all the new ones coming in of charging 10%. So our policy is now being to be 10% of the sales value. In alignment with the CFR. I'm asking the superintendent probably on this question, is there a process by which you, as the superintendent, can say these previous agreements were done against the CFRs and against the rules, against the law essentially, and that they need to be revisited and you need to bring them back in to adjust this? Is there a process that can be done through the BIA to bring us to where they're all on the same boat, 10%, all on the same footing, no one being able to undercut others because they have a different deal that was not of our making? We went to the CFR.
I would be happy to notify all of the ones that we have that are not paying by the 10% and asking them to come back in and renegotiate with you. You have to send a letter to that effect.
You would need a vote by the Minnows Council to request that? Or
I think based
or on you can just do it as your yes. responsibility.
Is that it, sir?
That is it.
Councilman.
Do you know how many of them are paying less than 10%?
I don't. Right off the bat, I don't. But I know that we did provide a listing and provided a listing to the Osage Minerals Council with a copy of the resolutions. Mm-hmm. So I would just have to go back in and look at those, and I'd be happy to notify them and let them know that, you know, the regulations state this and encourage them to come back in to the Minerals Council.
Some of those resolutions, after so long of time, are supposed to come back in and revisit that pricing. Somewhere in that resolution. I don't know. I've read some of them like that. Not all of them, but some of them. But anyway, I'd like to have a list of them again that are paying less than 10%.
Okay.
Looking at your report, I know there's 73 lease terminations. Is that kind of up from what it normally is, or is that pretty much what it's been?
I think that's up because there were some water floods too, so that kind of brought the number up because the water floods could have several quarters.
Okay. Are any of them interested in reacquiring these terminated leases, or are they pretty much ready to walk away? And I'm wondering the bonding issue. Are we still we're holding the bonds on them, I'm sure, but $5,000 per quarter isn't very, take care of all the wells.
Yeah, I'd have to check with King and see if anybody's interested in holding them. I'm not positive on that part. And you're right, $5,000 wouldn't cover.
And I believe that a lot of those are primary term. So what we can do is break them down as far as lease termination per primary term. Because we are going in on a regular basis. If they haven't produced during the primary term, we're expiring those leases.
Okay. And then I'm wondering, the lease sale coming up February 13th, if any of these would qualify for that, or, if someone had lost that lease, they may nominate it.
As far as I know, there's only one for the lease sale.
All right, thanks.
Council. That reminds me of another question. What time did the nominations open, and when do they close? We need to publicize that when the nominations close. For the lease sale?
We've got one. I believe we've only got one.
He wants to know what time they open.
What are the dates?
So I don't have that on myself.
We can forward that information to you.
Mr. Chairman, in the past, and I'm afraid I mentioned this once and then I let it drop by something I had in mind. We've actually purchased advertisements ourselves in like the Journal Record or others about the lease sale and give the dates for the
nominations,
when they're open, when they close, what nomination costs, basic stuff like that. Perhaps we can, when we get into regular meeting today, we can talk about advertising that. We've always done it, or in recent years we've done it, and we've dropped the ball on that. But we'll need to know the dates and when the nominations will be closed.
The nominations closed, I think, last Friday.
What?
I believe the nominations closed last Friday. The nominations to nominate a track?
Yes.
I believe it closed last Friday.
2 months before the sale?
Yeah, but we've got to go through and we've got to advertise and do all that kind of stuff. So, because we've got to go in and do is that not correct? I'll be happy to call Charity and find out.
We've never needed that much time, I don't think, in the past.
We've got to go ahead and one put up nomination. Is that because we forced him into it last week?
I was saying we've got it posted in front and we can get a copy of the course. Because that may affect the rest of the day.
It will for me. Because I have to be hard. We didn't make any moves for
it. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. The nominations did close Friday.
We're going to deal with that.
Right now.
We'll talk about it.
Comments? Anything to add to that? Yes,
Council.
We haven't even approved
the agreements on, we haven't even seen those. The terms and the lease.
The lease itself?
Yeah,
when the primary term contract lease?
Well, no. That girl that was in here, she was going to get that ready for us so we could take a look at it to see the terms of the, when you put
Yes,
how long it's going to be, because we talked about 2 years, and then at the oil summit, it was mentioned that maybe we should make those 3 year terms right now because it takes so long to get a permit.
Okay. Councilman, would you like to add to that?
Yeah, I have some questions. I'm not sure have a time to digest it completely. What would be the process for extending the nomination period?
I guess we just need to look at sending these out, a revised notification to everyone as far as extending it. Because these all went out to the prospective lessees, giving them notification of the nomination due date, when we would publicize it as far as the sales bulletin and then the sale itself. Generally, the BIA has to have time to look at all the nominations and make a decision as to whether or not that can be nominated and be part of the oil and gas lease sale. So we do allow ourselves some time to do that, perform that function. So if you look at this, it looks like she allowed, it's December 16th would be the deadline for the nomination, and then the sales bulletin mailing date would be January the 13th, and then the sale itself would be February the 13th. Mm-hmm. Right now at this point, we've got one track.
Council.
Thank you, Chairman. When we sold in July 2014, I think we had 24 tracks we auctioned. Is this the same procedure you did? Nothing different?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Superintendent, how many letters were sent out to the prospective lessees?
We have a bid list. They're all of the lessees that we have of record over there were notified.
And so how many would that be?
I don't know right off.
Could you give me that number?
I sure will.
Thank you.
362. Yes.
Being that this is December, and I guess we would have time to maybe deal with this in January, but I would think that we might look at canceling this lease sale and maybe waiting to see how the political environment moves forward before we schedule another one. And on January 21st, there's likely to be a lot of changes made shortly after, and that may, you know, reflect on the whatever interest we might get.
Attractions.
Or not attractions. But we hopefully attractions.
Gotta stay focused.
So with only one, you know, on the closing date, I would say we might ought to look at maybe closing that, canceling it, figuring out what to do with that one person, maybe have come in and negotiate. And then after the 21st of January or sometime in February, maybe look at what we want to do.
Mr. Rickman. Thank you, Ms. Phillips, for your comments, because I think it's indicative of our efforts as a mineral council to sell leases, look for other forms of development. The last time we tried it, we had 24. Now we've got one. I mean, you know, you got an atmosphere of high regulation, high environmental stuff coming out. The current proposal is to take someone pulling the oil out of the ground, and he's going to pay for more money. He's not going to get back on his return.
I mean, I just think it's indicative of where we're going. And if we don't change our ways, we'll see a lot more of it. Last week I asked, last month, I believe, I asked your, how you feel about your economic, your responsibilities on the economic return for minerals. But the more I got to thinking about it, the more I think that's the responsibility of the Mineral Council. You know, if there's promotion to be made, if there's ways we can get more leases, more lessees involved, we need to do it. So I think once we make that determination, you're off to the races and doing what you're doing, and we appreciate that. But I think it's indicative. Again, going from 24 and at our oil and gas summit, I heard a guy hold up his lease, said, I haven't been able to get on the pad drilling on mine yet. Then I heard, well, he's on here, and he's this and this and that. But the reality is, he still ain't on his lease. So what are we doing? I think that's the smart question to ask. Is there anything we can do, change course, improve the process to get these environmental things done and clear and done, and get the value where it meets the expectations of our customers out there, if we're still interested in doing that? I think it's very indicative. We need to ask some serious questions among our group, because the responsibilities lie with us, I believe. But to continue on the path we're doing, we're going to see, well, we can extend this. I'm not sure we'll see any improvement. You know, it's a tough world out there right now.
Councilman Irwin and Councilman, yeah.
As bad as I hate to say this,
say it.
I agree with him. We shouldn't have put it in when it was. We asked that we put it at a later time. Somebody was real insistent on having it when they wanted to have it, and the people aren't ready yet. We need the new players in office. The Republicans are oil people. We need them to get in there and so they can change things around.
Change things around, all right. Yeah. Well, are you done there?
Yes.
I agree with the over-regulating, you know, but that's been the allure of Osage County for all this time. It's, you know, that's what the small operators, that's why they made a living, because they were willing to go that little extra to work with the Minerals Council and the BIA and extract that oil. That was the allure, you know, just a little bit of extra. I think the main problem with this is business hates uncertainty. And that's where we're at right now. They don't know what the regulations are. They don't know what the new Trump presidential, you know, regime is going to bring. So I think if we could just hold off on this lease sale till after, you know, first quarter or something, kind of see which direction they're going, what he proposes. He'll outline everything in his speech, you know, when he's inaugurated. And so, again, I say, you know, the regulations is just part of Osage County. It's what it's been. But the uncertainty with business is what's been killing us. That's it.
Killing us, Dad. Councilor, let me ask Superintendent respond, sir, and then you go. Thank you.
If the Osage Minerals Council would like to cancel, I will need a resolution canceling that, because right now, at this point, I've got a resolution asking the agency to proceed, or something to that effect. I need something for my file as far as documentation goes. And then the one individual that has nominated a track, you want me to notify them and ask them to come into the Minerals Council at the next agenda, get on the next agenda and come in and propose a negotiated lease?
Is it an oil gas combination, West Cobalt, that thing?
The last that I heard from Cammie was that we just had one individual, and I think, what was it, yesterday or the day before, there were two individuals that came in to look at two more tracks. One individual you had allowed sent something over through Lacey, allowing them to look at our records, and the same was with Councilwoman Boone. So those are the only three that I'm aware of.
I'm just asking about that one, though,
yeah,
that you had.
That I don't know, because Cammie just gave me a heads up that we've just gotten one.
Councilman Redcorn and Councilman
Thank you, Chairman. Keeping track, I read the World Oil and Gas Journal, oil and gas financial report. We get weekly stuff. But they're all projecting a brighter future for shale. Texas is getting excited. They produce, they're predicting a bump in oil, in barrel, price per barrel. I mean, with this new administration, I think we're looking at an a major increase in the United States in oil and gas, because producers know Mr. Rick Perry down in Texas is going to be the energy guy. The Montana governor is going to be the Department of Interior, and they're all oil and gas oriented. That's their focus. We're watching Sally Jewell leave, or I guess she's going to leave. I haven't heard anything, but that's my prediction. But there's a lot of chatter and a lot of buzz on exploring some difficult plays that cost more, and that's like shale, and you know, something that we're not totally into right yet. Maybe we will, I don't know. Probably not, but the end result is there's a lot of activity, a lot of chatter on a positive and the optimism outside where we are. I just don't want the Osages to get left behind. We continue tracking forward with these heavy regulations and the way we want to do things. We don't want to stop our ability to make really good deals in the next coming years, next 2 years, as Mr. Trump's going to be in the White House. And that's my fear. I'm asking the questions. That's why I'm asking Jim. That's why I'm asking the Bureau. Hopefully we'll have a director in here, but we really need to get busy on how can we get more barrels coming out of the ground. How can we get that lease going? And to me, the current track is just not working. It's not working, and it's not producing the interest out there. Too much regulation, too much EIS. I mean, that's a deal killer. I mean, in my experience in the oil and gas company, you know, you just walk away, you go do something else. You don't run, play around in an EIS field. I mean, that's been my experience, but maybe I'll learn something here that producers are going to go crazy about an EIS. Oh boy, I can't wait to produce in an EIS area. You know, I don't know, but that's always been mine. Hey, you know, it's like you tell your children, don't go into this area because bad things will happen. Well, it's just one of those areas. Are we one of those areas? We just don't operate. Like, I don't operate out there, go somewhere else. I mean, but the oil price is high. Last time that happened, Chairman, the oil was at $8 a barrel.
I was here.
But we're not there. Our oil's up, it's 50, getting close to 50, projected to get 60. And we're still acting like it's $8 a barrel. You guys got creative, I have to admit. After I looked at
it, that was a long time ago.
Negotiated process started in those years, you know, that's the activity. But the way we're doing business is we need to relook at our environmental and our regulatory climate and get something that's more conducive to making a deal with these gentlemen out here. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you so much, Councilwoman.
I recall at our oil and gas summit, one of our oil men said that the problems that he's having is not with the Minerals Council, it's not with money, it was what was coming out of the superintendent's office. Certainly the facts that I saw in this report tell the story in support of what the oil producer said, and I would be in a position to make a resolution to cancel our upcoming lease sale based on any number of factors. I don't think right now is a good time to have one.
I'd entertain a motion. Would you like to make that into a motion?
I make the motion that we cancel our upcoming lease sale scheduled for February the 17th.
I second.
And a second. I have a motion on the floor. Councilwoman Bain, second by Councilwoman Irwin.
Correction, Mr. Chairman. Our upcoming lease sale is scheduled for the February the 13th, not the 17th.
No, we're busy 17th, 19th. On the 13th, sir.
Yes, sir.
No discussion. Call for the question.
Councilman Cheshawala.
Yes.
Councilman Crum.
Yes.
Councilwoman Irwin.
Yes.
Councilwoman Redcorn.
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn.
No.
Chairman Waller.
Yes.
Councilman Yates.
Yes.
Councilwoman Boone.
Yes.
Passes.
With that passing, Superintendent, I would like to have you have those folks contact us. And I've been creative before. I believe we can find a route to do that again. I think Councilman's right here. We're non-competitive. They're just driving right past us. And we're going to put a stop to it. Thank you. Superintendent, anything else you'd like to add? Are you sure?
Yes.
For that, I'd like to go into a new business. New pack concession extension. Mr. Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Steve McNamara on behalf of NewPEC. I'm here today to request an extension of the NewPEC concession that is really the eastern side of what has been known as the BGI concession. And it is due to expire in February, February 19th of 2017, so not too many days from now. We came last Wednesday with a representative of the company who unfortunately could not be here again today. But we have discussed it with their management, and the proposal that we have for the council's consideration to obtain the two-year extension that we're requesting is that we would relinquish 20% of the total acreage from the concession between now and February 19th of 2018. And we would drill one vertical well on the remaining concession lands on or before February 19th of 2018. That's approximately 1 year from now. And we would make a commitment to drill two additional vertical wells on or before February 19th of 2019. With the proviso that if we happen to drill three wells next year, that those would be credited towards our future obligations. We're proposing that the lease bonus at, under the concession of $50 an acre and a 3/16 royalty rate remain the same. NewPEC is current on turning in all of its seismic data and the interpretation of its seismic data. If there is additional interpretation of the seismic, that obviously would be turned over to the Mineral Council and to the BIA as per the agreement. So those, to give you some frame of reference to the BGI, there was a BGI extension that was granted earlier in this year. The commitment to drill one vertical well by 2018 and two by 2019 is the same as BGI. The significant difference here is the agreement to relinquish 20% of the lands covered by the concession within 1 year time. That's it. I can say that we I pushed hard for a 20% immediate relinquishment of the lands, and I think the management's position was that they were willing to do that, but then the question became, well, what lands are we going to relinquish? And given Christmas time, I just don't think they're able to make a firm commitment on the lands they wish to relinquish at this time. So my proposal is that the relinquishment happen within 1 year, that we give them time to pick drill sites, and in the same time, as you're picking a drill site, you're also, by the very nature of picking one drill site, you're excluding lands that you don't think are as worthy of drilling. So that's how that process would work as I see it.
So in 1 year's time, we could identify the 20,000 acres.
Yes, sir.
You actually just bought yourself another year doing that. Council?
What's it?
Try to do my math here pretty quickly. Right now, what you have tied up, according to your gentleman the other day, was 37,120 acres.
That is correct.
Which is 232 quarters. If you eliminate 20%, you're still going to end up with 29,696 acres, which is 185.6 quarters. And on this land, what we're listening to say, the only commitment is to drill 3 wells.
Yes, sir.
That's an awful lot of ground. And especially, in fact, a lot of the facts, at least for myself, I didn't get a true picture of what your client was wanting to do with it, where he felt like he was going. He just, more or less, he wanted to hang on to it.
Right.
And to hang on to it, he drilled 3 quarters, pay us 50, or 3, I assume it would be 3 separate quarters, because he, you know, anyway. Yeah. But he would drill on 3 different pieces out of the 232 quarters, he'd drill on 3 of them. And he's also getting it at $50 an acre bonus, but he's also getting it at a lower royalty rate than what we've given out in at least 8 years to anyone. You can probably tell by the tone I'm less than thrilled.
I understand. And
we don't even know what, I mean, where he's going to decide, what he's going to decide to give up in another year's time. You said, and that was another part of your phrasing there within the year,
yes, sir.
Before prior. Is the plan to tell us sometime prior to that, or at the end of that year, they will say, okay, we're dividing off this block here, we're wanting to keep it?
I would write it up to be on or before February 18th of 2018 with the relinquishment occur.
I realize that the climate has not been very good in the last little bit since your client obtained this. It was kind of, it's moved hands several times in the last few years. Both the price of oil recently and you know, regulatory factors and such, but they've not seemed to have made any effort to drill even one well on all this ground. So, I don't know.
If I could respond, their ownership, it was originally in Century Exploration, and their ownership commenced in 2013. So they've been the owners of this since 2013.
For 3 years. Okay. That's my comments for right now.
Council.
Thank you, Chairman. Got a letter from Mrs. Phillips. She had a lot of commentary on some of the things we were going to talk about today and last Friday. Appreciate that. One of the statements she said was, I thought we were doing away with these concessions and an agreement with it, you know. I mean, I want to know why you need so much acreage. I mean, I want to know the technical reason why you're holding up all this land, as opposed to just talking to that lady next to you and saying, here's the 3 we want to drill. Make a deal with us on those locations. I mean, why are we tying up so much acreage for little activity? You know, I've got got Indian land out there.
Right.
And we make deals, agricultural deals, mineral deals all the time. And somebody's just going to sit out there and sit on a piece of property
that's not going to do us any good. I mean, so my question is, what are you planning on doing with this?
Well, I'm not a geologist, but my belief is that the seismic that exists is the most valuable asset that's associated with this 37,000 acres.
But nobody else has that seismic. Just you, just this company.
Right. And if the,
so I don't see the benefit for us to hold off. You pick your locations, and then we need to know. But to tie up a lot of acreage for no activity. It's beyond me. So.
The tying the drilling wells back to the seismic, I believe, will true up the seismic to determine if the interpretation is being given to the seismic is correct. They're going to pick their best locations based upon the seismic interpretation that they have. If they are successful, then obviously they're going to drill more wells.
Question for Ms. Phillips. You were in Anadarko. Did you see a lot of concessions on any of these?
Never saw a concession until I came over here. And I know that in 2003, PGS did an onshore seismograph through the Anadarko Basin. They finished that, and within a year, the Anadarko Agency had a $36 million lease out.
Right.
So I guess my question is, when was the seismic completed?
I don't know.
And if the seismic was completed, then why now?
I don't know when the seismic was completed, nor when the seismic was turned over, but I believe that a seismic was done in conjunction with BGI.
Because so. I guess my experience, I have experience on the other side where she was part of that process down
right
there. And then when the activity spurts up, you see a lot of activity. And seismic goes along with that. And all the other things that the producer, these reserve, these geologists right and whatnot are doing. But I'm not seeing that growth or thing coming out. We're just locking up a lot of land, just sitting and waiting. So
right,
that's, and then our experience, at least over down here, it's a quick turnaround. You've got a lot of people competing. You've got and the landowner benefits. I was asked about this meeting we had at our summit, and someone asked, well, why can't you guys bring money to the table? And I said, well, we're bringing our resource to the table. We want somebody over here with the money. We got the resource. You guys want it. Tell us how you're going to produce it. If you can't tell us, then maybe somebody else is out there that we need to talk to.
Right.
So,
I may interject one item. The superintendent, how many million was that lease sale you just mentioned?
2006, it was $36 million.
What was the average per acre?
That I do not know. I know that there was over 1,100 tracts that were nominated during that time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know what it was.
It was big.
I'm going to start with Councilwoman Levine, Councilman Crum, Councilman Irwin. Ma'am, don't go there.
Mr. McNamara, last Friday I did tell you that I wanted a better well commitment and I wanted a higher royalty rate.
Yes, ma'am.
And you took that information back to your people and they said no. That. So my thing is the concession is going to expire next February.
Yes, ma'am.
It would be my recommendation that we let that concession expire. Your people can go back to the drawing board, and before that date, if they come up with something really nice that we can listen to, that you get back on the agenda and present that at that time. Otherwise, they could just, I would be in favor of the concession expiring.
All right.
And then them deciding if they want to come back after it expires to identify what kind of property they want.
Mm-hmm.
And renegotiate a better deal for us than what you've got today.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
That's kind of where I was headed with the thing. One thing I did want to say was that BGI was one of those that started the whole big concession. It was one of those concessions that was done well prior to Meekin on the council. I'm not even sure where it started, but it was just a seismic concession. That's the reason there was no drilling commitment. They got it for just shooting seismic on it. And I believe the seismic had to be shot on a periodic basis to do it then. So the seismic's been in the can for quite a while.
Yes, sir.
And also, the thoughts on the concessions themselves, we saw the experience with BGI and several others that had been at the concessions had been in place for a long time with no drilling commitments as a real problem. So the concessions that was done during the second Minerals Council were designed to combat that problem. They were of a short nature. The longest one was for 4 years. They were pretty considerable bonuses. They had, more importantly, drop-dead drilling commitments for each year that were pretty extensive. Mm-hmm. And the guys that come in and negotiated them, I think at least one's in the room that had one, that they didn't get the first time. They had to keep up in that drilling commitment because that's where our focus was, drilling commitment and a sunset clause. Mm-hmm. Yours doesn't have either one that is, you know, conducive to me. So I'm with Councilwoman Boone. I think we let it expire. If you guys, we welcome their interest here. They have the seismic. Hopefully they're getting it interpreted for this area. Come back and talk to us about specific leases.
Okay.
Or areas. Either. So.
Councilwoman Irwin.
Mr. Chairman, apparently you don't want me to speak on this issue, so no, therefore I won't.
No, I just asked you to wait. Complete. You have no comment?
No comment. Right,
thank you. Council, anything to add?
Please. Do we need to put it to the vote, or just is it a consensus of the council that we ask them to come back with a better deal?
I was looking at my calendar thinking that would have to be in a January effort, and we'll never make it to a sale with it, even if it did terminate. Mm-hmm. So we'll have time, council.
We don't have to take any action because the agreement in place is going to continue on until the end. The only action we would have if we wanted to amend that agreement. I don't see anybody voting to amend the agreement.
With no motion on the floor, let's go ahead and allow Mr. McNamara to go back. I had the same concern in the new leases. We're going to be at 20% anyway on the road.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you.
With that, I'd like to go to new business B, Geo Stabilization International. Mr. Rock, are you present today? This is just, we need the resolution. It's in our books under the GSI. We discussed it Friday. And we're going to take this dirt, do the shoulder with. It's going to be actually brought into another project that's an ODOT project. Just like the okay to go ahead and write them a letter, since there are no sales, to allow them to waive the permitting process. Council.
So moved. I move that we recommend that they are to the Bureau that we are.
Councilman Crump, I need a second.
Waiving the permit process.
I have a second from Councilman Redcorn. Let's call for a question, please.
Councilman Crump.
Yes.
Councilwoman Irwin. Councilwoman Redcorn.
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn.
Abstain.
Chairman Waller.
Yes.
Councilman Yates.
Yes.
Councilwoman Boone.
Yes.
Councilman Cheshawala.
Yes.
Approved, sir.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brock. With that, we'll move on to the next item. David Coast, please. Yes, I'm about to wait since 14-21-10, and it's in a water flood unit, but the three wells that I've purchased are in different zones than what the water flood is, and it's not going through, so I'm just wondering where I'm at. You've got to take oil out there, can't sell it.
Councilman.
Mr. Coast, I want to see this worked out for you. So, one of the things that we talked about last week was that for us to give you the new lease for it, it needs to have been terminated, and then we can give you a new lease for it, however the council wishes to make that happen. But until it's been terminated, our hands are kind of tied, if I understand right.
Okay.
And I also understood that you didn't know how to contact the guy that you had originally tried to make a...
Steve.
Is that correct? Have you ever been able to contact him?
No, I talked to his wife, and she was going to let him know, but he pretty much worked himself into the ground on the lease and kind of lost all interest and everything.
Yeah.
Let him lose interest when he signs that letter that waives that requirement.
Do what, sir?
You're going to have this letter signed that he waives that requirement, or otherwise you're going to be back here in March.
We have to wait for a while. Now,
yeah,
that was the question I was going to have for the superintendent. Trying to remember what the current regs say. I know what we tried to do for the new ones, but during the current ones, there was a provision of some sort. I'm not sure in this particular instance, but if somebody could not be reached, there was a process for the BDIA to grant access. Does not being reached allow you to go ahead quicker than the...
No.
There's nothing for...
No, if he doesn't waive it, he's got 90 days to appeal. Termination cancellation. I mean, 30 days to appeal. But then also, he's got the 90 days requirement to plug and recover the surface.
So we're looking at a 120 window.
Right.
Shortest.
Right.
So what needs to happen is for, I guess, you... because you sound like you do have some contact, to get with the BIA about explaining to him the letter that says he's not going to protest the action of terminating the leases. And I don't think he has any interest in protesting that.
I don't think he has.
Doesn't sound like from what you said. So if you could explain it to him, I would hope he would sign it for you right away. That would cut down the time greatly by all this time we're talking about here for us to be able to then work a deal with you to get the new lease.
Yeah.
Now, second, is there any way for that oil that's... I understood him to say that he couldn't sell the oil at all. Can he sell the oil but not get paid? That's what red tag, if I understood it, means that you can sell the oil, but you don't get your portion of it until after it's been resolved.
Only way it can be sold, I mean, he could sell it, but the only one they're going to recognize is the leaseholder, which would be Steve Cornelison. So since he's the leaseholder, the money would actually go to him, so he would have to talk to Steve Cornelison.
Per division order.
Right,
regulations.
Because of division order. Yeah. And it is red sealed. We're holding, and they can pick up the money, but the royalty... I mean, everything be held in suspense other than the royalty that belongs to the Osage Nation.
Yes, but the only way they would do it is to hold it in Sequoia, is his name. And I believe I've heard third party that he's gone through a bankruptcy, and he's not in real good shape right now.
Go
right ahead, Councilman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess I got a question for the Bureau and yourself. I don't see your connection with the lease they already have with this water flood. There's no agreement with you that they have connecting you to this water flood.
No, I want as far away from that as I can
stay. I don't think there's a paper that says that. The other question I have is This is in a different zone.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we could just treat this. You guys, who is this gentleman we're talking about?
Steve Cornelius.
Steve Cornelius. You got a BI, can you deal with Steve on a different issue? This is a different zone, different area. We make an agreement with this gentleman. He's very interested in drilling. I don't see a legal connection between you and him other than what's flowing out of your mouth. It says there's money changed, but nothing official was done.
Yeah.
So I see, let that one play out as is. You come back and you come in for a new agreement in a different zone. And I'm assuming, is that possible? Can we do that? I mean, you're a new individual.
The original wells were drilled by Mr. Cornelison on his lease, on his water flood.
He's never done a recompletion, much less drilled in the wells. The water flood unit, all the wells were drilled back in the 50s, 60s. And
so this, to me, it's two separate leases, but maybe I'm wrong. Can we treat it as two separate leases? You deal with Cornelius as is and let that one go. And we got I think you made a mistake. You want to come in, you want to drill, and this guy sold you a bill of goods. You should probably
he should have just come in and said, hey, man,
talk to Robin. I'm interested in these three wells here, which is out of that water flood. And so I'm just asking the questions. That's something we can explore.
No, right now at this point, the lessee of record is Steve Cornelius, so we would not be able to go back in and give anything to this gentleman until those leases are expired or terminated. So we're going to have to start that process first.
So we have a different zone of water flood and all the wells drilled. He's got that. So you're saying he drilled the three in this water flood, this lease area?
I do not know what water zone or what zone he drilled in, but right now at this point, he's the only one that has a lease on the quarter section.
On the quarter section.
On the quarter, he has a lease on the entire. It's a water flood, so there's six quarters. Is that what you said?
I believe there's like six quarters. I'll have to reconfirm that, but I believe there's like six quarters in the green unit.
Okay.
So he has all of that. Well, it's different than Anadarko.
If he had three wells that he's drilled, that's my question. I'm only asking a question.
Yeah.
He drilled three wells in that water flood, is what you're saying.
And he has.
Because he had the lessee, he was a lessee of record.
He's a lessee of record. He has the leases on all of that. We wouldn't be able to go in and prepare
Parse out some of the lease to somebody else, is what you're saying.
That is correct.
Okay.
We need his approval to terminate this particular one, this track that he's interested in.
Okay.
Yes.
Or take over the whole water. Is that what you're
saying? Are you interested in taking over
the
So what happens to the tank bed for the oil?
No, it'd take $100,000 to start on the road.
Well, it can be picked. Excuse me.
Go right ahead.
The oil can be picked up out of the tank and royalty can be paid to the Osage Nation, okay? But the money that belongs supposedly to Mr. David Coast would actually go to Steve Cornelison because he's the one listed on the vision over his owner.
It's my understanding that you all were supposed to contact him and try to find him?
No, Mr. David Coast was supposed to see if he'd get a hold of him and said he would forego the 30-day appeal.
Okay, I thought the superintendent was supposed to do that. Sorry. Anyway, so did you drill three wells on this?
No, these were drilled in the early 90s.
You actually have to have this quarter section because last week you said something about the poles, the electricity. That's the reason why you bought it in the first place, so you can have electricity to run your lease.
Yes.
It only produces maybe half a barrel a day?
Yes.
And that your tank battery is on that same lease?
Yes. The tank battery is set right next to each other. And in 91, I was with Bird Creek Resources, which owned my zinc lease. And we did a deal with them where we got electricity and
know, we'd put a well or two for him and, you know, just helping each other out. And when he was unable to pay for his electric bill, they'd shut the electric off. And I own bases on the west, I have a lease on the west side and on the north side of it. And I needed the power on, so he said he'd take $15,000. So I paid him, wrote out a contract where I'd just take those three wells and it wouldn't interfere with the water flood. There's three other wells on the south end of that particular quarter section that were disposal wells for the water flood unit. And I was just needing my lease up and going. He was on bad times, so I bought it from him, and I realized I could lose my money, but it wouldn't be the first time.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of a quagmire there, who owns what. I don't know what the suggestion would be to that, except that we'd like to have your oil.
Yeah.
We want your oil.
Yeah, I'd like to sell the oil.
Yeah, we want your oil.
I mean, half a barrel's half a barrel. You really couldn't. I do all my own pumping and rouse about all that, and you couldn't hire a pumper to pump it for what he gets out of the oil. I mean, it's $15 a day, maybe, if you don't have any problems.
Maybe you could have meet with Steve Cornelius's wife and give him something, just saying that he releases that particular lease for you.
Okay.
We need something our file in order for us to move forward.
Does it have to correctly include the wells, well bores, and
it'd be good if we knew exact location and wells, descriptions and all that, which it should be out there anyway. Yeah. So you prepare that for him and then give it to the wife and see if he will sign off on that.
Okay. We'll try that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And do come back when you work it out.
We're in the business of selling oil and leasing.
Item 7D, Councilman Rickle.
Okay, it's under tab 7, last part. The position description for the director of the governor's office. And I gave it to you last Friday to review, and are there any changes that you'd like to make in it?
Council.
Yes.
This person, we have the money in the budget.
Yes.
We've had it since 2014. Okay. Chairman, I think it's a good idea. I've said that since we started. I enjoyed having Joe Hewlett in that seat, which was very helpful on our auctions when we had to have his assistance to look for opportunities to put in the auction. And that was a quite successful process he did there. So it was a learning for me on that, at that end. But I think there's other things. Definitely other things that we need help with these major issues on across the board. So I'm in favor of the director hiring and when, when will we propose?
Well, that would be up to the Minerals Council, and immediately, I think the sooner the better myself.
Immediately.
Thank you, Chairman. Sure. Councilman.
Well, it seems to me the plan of action would be here would be to advertise this position. So we budgeted for a long time, so I don't know whether we ever advertised it before. Did we not ever advertise it before? So I would, the actual action that we should take would be to advertise the position. I move that we do that.
Okay. Second.
A motion by Council McKernan, second by Councilman Redcorn, to go ahead and advertise the position of the Director of Osage Minerals Office, Department C395, immediate supervisor to Council, and salaries. Council.
We will need to put a beginning date and closing date on the advertisement. I don't know whether we need to do that in here or leave that up to the chairman.
Aren't we going to run it through like we did the other, through HR?
Yeah.
And we'll fall under their requirements.
They'll take care of all the opening and closings.
Yes.
Actually,
tell them we want it as soon as possible.
Yeah. So I think we ought to have a closing date so that, because sometimes you just leave them open. Maybe the next time they advertise, we'll leave it open if we don't get anybody. But that way, if we got some people in, we would have a closing date.
What would you prefer on the closing date?
Oh, I think it's going to take a month or 6 weeks at least to wait for it to advertise it before. So I'm just saying, rather than purely open ended, that
in February, sir?
Huh?
In February?
Sure.
I would appreciate the comment, but I think we ought to give the HR the ability to make those determinations as quickly. Tell them we want it opening and closing as quickly as possible. And let them make the decision.
With the way things are now, I think we'll have real good applicants because a lot of people are out of work. And right now, if we advertise now before that, I think things are really going to pick up after the first week.
Council, is anything else you guys like that?
I suggest a 30-day closing date, and then if we need to, we can extend it.
Extend it.
Yeah. Okay. But
we'll turn it over.
Hopefully in 30 days we can be approved.
Yes. We'll take it to HR. Would that like call for the question?
Councilwoman Irwin.
Yes.
Councilwoman Redcorn.
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn.
Yes.
Chairman Waller.
Yes.
Councilman Yates.
Yes.
Councilwoman Boone.
Yes.
Councilman Cheshawala.
Yes.
Councilman Crum.
Yes.
Quarantine.
Thank you very much. Also, I'm going to use this as the description that you have. I don't see any changes. Does the council have any changes? And this is what I'm going to send over. Thank you. With that, I'm going to go into executive, take a short break, the motion, go into executive, please.
So moved.
Have a motion on the floor by Councilman Stone, seconded by Councilwoman Redcorn. Call for the question, please.
Councilwoman Redcorn.
Yes.
Councilman Redcorn.
Yes.
Chairman Waller.
Yes.
Councilman Yates.
Yes.
Councilwoman Boone.
Yes.
Councilman Cheshawala.
Yes.
Councilman Crum.
Yes.
Councilwoman Irwin.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. 10-minute recess, please, and then we'll come back to executive. Leslie, you'll be first one up, please. Thank you, Derek.